If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn, if you would, to the book of Ezekiel. I'm going to read one verse in Ezekiel chapter 1. And I'm doing this series here again called Opening Windows, how I believe that God's got us postured here in the pretty, very first part of this year to see open heavens, open windows take place over our lives. We're reading here from, quoting from Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, where God says, "See if I won't throw open the windows of heaven to you and pour out such a blessing, there's not even room enough to receive everything I'm going to be pouring out to you." I'm hearing prophetic words, even on TV, by ministries, by prophets across our country. The 2013 is a year of promise, a year where God's going to start releasing things that have been stored up for us for so many years sometimes, perhaps. God's going to start releasing some great things to us in the body of Christ. Amen? We talked about there's five main treasures that God has over every one of us. All of us have windows over our lives that are heavenly treasures that can be opened or they can be closed or they can be only partially open. I'm believing God to release keys to us to see the windows totally open up that God has in store for us, because the time is short till Christ comes back to the earth and the harvest truly is great around us. Amen? Open windows are not just for you only. They're actually for those around you that you influence for God's glory and for God's kingdom. So the five treasures again this morning. The first one was called provisions. God has provisions for us beyond our own natural abilities. And so realize that God wants to open up to us more and more divine provisions for us for the days ahead, or do those things God has called us to do upon the earth. The second thing was God's presence. How many folks know we need God's presence in our lives? I want to see God's presence. I want to feel, I want to know God is with me every second of every hour upon the face of the earth, because where God's presence is at, the Bible says there's fullness of joy, there's fullness of freedom, and there's also liberty in the presence of Almighty God. Praise God this morning here during our praise, during our worship time. We've already sensed God's presence in this service here today. Amen. May that increase more and more, not diminish in our lives. The third thing was a word called providence. Talked about last week how God has things planned for us in the very foundations of the earth. And these things are all conditional. What God wants to do and what God does do is largely up to us being obedient to God, being broken before God, being available to God, hearing God's voice, and obeying what God tells us to do upon the earth. Today's going to be about a thing called preview, previews of coming attractions. And the last one, starting next week here, the last one on this series will be the word promotion, how God has promotion also for us by His grace and by His Spirit. I heard a story this last week here about how a frog called into a psychic hotline. When he called the psychic hotline, they began to take, of course, prophesy in their own kind of realm of the false prophets, things to this frog, and said, "Guess what? I see right now a beautiful young lady meeting you and learning every detail about your life." This frog came alive and said, "Man, when will I meet this young lady? I can't wait to have this happen, take place in my life." He goes, "Well, it will be next semester in her biology class." Not always a good preview of coming attractions, amen? But I remember back as a young boy living in a farm in Missouri, having that one channel, Channel 3, back when I was about 8 years old, 7 years old, way back in the dark ages. They always had the previews of coming programs. The next, when September took place, all the new shows came out. I remember seeing previews of Batman, the old Batman. Previews of Here Comes Hoss Cartwright in Bonanza. Here Comes Lost in Space and the Wild Robot. I mean, we were just totally on our edge, just tickled pink about this great shows coming out, previews of coming attractions. You go to movies nowadays, though, and for about 20 to 30 minutes, they show previews of shows that are going to be coming out this fall, this spring, this summer, Christmas time, Thanksgiving time. There's so many previews coming out of the future shows upon the screens of our nation. But guess what? God also has for you and I previews of coming attractions. Amen? God doesn't want to pull surprises on us. God wants to give you sometimes warnings and also blessings and also hopes for the future. God gives previews to us about future events that'll be a blessing in our lives. So today's message here is about God's foretellings in our lives, previews of things God wants to release upon us. And realize again that throughout the entire Bible, God also gave previews to men of God, to women of God, people of God, throughout all of creation upon the earth. We find back in the book of Genesis, it says that when God visited with Abraham, he asked Abram, "Should I not reveal to you things I'm going to do to the cities called Sodom and Gomorrah? I'm going to send down judgment there. I'm going to wipe the entire city out. Their sin is so great, and the outcry against them is so strong by demons in heaven that I must now come down and do something about this. I must now destroy the city." So he foretold, he gave a preview to Abram about the coming destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And then, of course, Abram, being an intercessor, said, well, if only five righteous people are found in this city, will you not change your mind, relent, and not destroy this city? And God said, even though I foretell and foresay that it shall be destroyed, for the sake of five righteous people, I will not destroy this city. But they could not find five righteous in that city, so destruction still took place upon Sodom and Gomorrah. This shows us these previews are things that sometimes can be changed by the hand of God. If you hear about bad things taking place around the horizon on the weather forecasts, upon our economy and things of that nature, those things are all changeable by the hand and by the power of Almighty God. Amen? So Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 1 says this, now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw then visions of God. Here we see the prophet Ezekiel in a place called Babylon in captivity. He's surrounded by pagan idols. He's surrounded by pagan beliefs, by a pagan culture. They're bowing down to demons. They're doing all manner of evil around him every single day. But the Bible shows us right here in the Old Testament even, there can still be an open heaven for you and I right in the midst of a demonic culture all around us. Amen? So open heavens, open visions can still take place no matter what time we're living in right now as far as evil is concerned. Until Jesus Christ comes back, he'll still give, I believe, open heavens, open visions of people of God upon the face of the earth. The main thing is I want to see us having our spiritual eyes tuned in, opened up to receive and see the visions God has for us in these last days. Amen? So moving on, the question is today, do you have a vision yourself from God? Or has that vision that God's given you become distorted? Has it become blurred? Has it become somehow discouraged or blackened somehow in your life? And again, do you have a vision, a clear vision? God's showing you things about your future to be aiming for your future. I know that God tells us His Word very plainly, without a vision, my people perish. And that word perish means they slowly fade away into the sunset. God wants you to have a strong, clear vision about your future, about the plans He has for your life, that you might be prepared for that, be preparing for that, be moving toward the things that God's called you to be and do upon the face of the earth. God's got a vision for every single one of us. Can you say amen to that? If you have no vision from God, I'm believing God today to open up that window brighter, stronger, bigger over your life, give you open heavens, open windows, open visions of what God's plan is for you upon the earth. Again, I want to pick on these folks from the Chin tribe here in Myanmar. I know God gave them a vision of reaching the refugees here in our city. And right now they're reaching folks by the dozens here that have come from different parts of the world, in Asia as well, especially Myanmar, reaching out to them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because of a vision God placed in their heart, you guys' hearts as well, we're seeing folks being touched not just here in Austin, but from nations all over the earth. God's going to be touching more and more people in us and through us as only God can do. Amen? So the word vision, what's the word vision actually mean? It means the ability to see the future before it actually comes into being. Remember again that Satan is the master of your past. Satan will always try to remind you of things you've done to fail God, to fail yourself, to fail your family, things you should have done you did not do, old regrets, schools you did not go to, classes you did not take, promotions you did not receive, you got the wrong husband, the wrong wife you might think sometimes. But I'm saying again, God takes all the mistakes of our past. When they're put at the foot of Jesus Christ's cross, He makes them all become redemptive for us. God will waste nothing in your life. Satan tries to rule your past and use your past to vex your present. But God's a God of today and God's a God of the future. Amen? What God says about the past is gone, the past is forgotten. Only if you think about those things, it'll build your faith up in the past as far as successes are concerned, as far as things God's done for you is concerned. Use those past events to build your faith up, remind you what God does in faithfulness for you, but forget about your bad past, your mistaken past, and old regrets must go under the cross of Jesus Christ. Let God give you a vision about the today and about the future, because God's got a good future for all of us in His hands by His Spirit. Amen? Do you believe that? For our youth here today, I'm saying again, God's got a good future for you. I don't care how sick the attitudes are around you at high schools, public schools, universities, whatever else. God's got you guys as salt and as light, as anointed vessels for Him. And God's got great things in store for all of our youth. Praise God for those who sang today on the platform. May God breathe on that more and more and more. And may God use you beyond this building in greater capacities to see yourselves being a great blessing for God's kingdom in Austin, Texas, and also beyond as time goes by. Amen. We're proud of our youth, proud of our children. Proud of our adults as well. Many things in the future are veiled to us. Yet there's also even signs given to us. God will give you signs about your future. I think about throughout the Bible how God probably gave signs to people like Noah. When Noah was a little bitty boy, I bet you back in the days of Israel, he's going around Israel to the toy stores, he was always being drawn toward toy boats. Always being drawn towards erector sets. Hey, Mama, Daddy, I want a little boat kit for Christmas. Well, why? I don't know. I just have an urge inside me to build boats and make boats and make boats float. And so there's probably things in Noah's life there that were kind of pointing towards his future and building boats and being a savior and a rescuer of mankind as time would go by. Think about also the man whose name was Jonah. Jonah was probably the kind of guy that was always saying, Mom and Dad, I don't care about going fishing today. For some reason, I don't like largemouth bass. Largemouth bass, they scare me somehow. I don't want no pictures on my walls of largemouth bass. I don't want to see no largemouth bass in this house. I don't want to eat no fish. I don't like fish. That's probably all kind of going on. There's parents probably very puzzled saying, well, why is our son so scared of fish and especially largemouth bass? God's preparing him for the future, amen? But on a more serious note here, we also see folks whose name is like David. David, the Bible says, saw the lion and saw the bear as a young boy. And the Bible says he killed them with his bare hands. Now, no normal human, even a grown man, can't do that. Amen? And so God was showing him, you're a giant slayer. You take creatures that are much bigger and stronger than you are, and somehow with my might, my power, my strength, you get a hold of them and rip their heads off and bring them down as only you can do with my might, my power, and my strength. God was revealing to David as a young boy some things about his future. God will do that for you and I as well, amen? Think about Esther. Esther was born, the Bible says, very, very attractive, very beautiful, like a beauty pageant winner. And so there's a reason that God did that, because God wanted her to become the queen of the kingdom there called Vashti, and with the king Mordecai as time was going by there. And so God used her beauty, God used her attractiveness to actually open up doors to her also for the future. And so God revealed to her as a young girl, I believe, you're beautiful for a reason, not just for yourself, but it's actually to save a nation as time goes by upon your culture, upon your people. For you and I today, we need to ask ourselves, what signs is God giving you, you young people, you children, you adults, that shows what God's got in store for your life? What are you being drawn towards? What kind of books are you reading? What kind of things are you actually interested in? Those are probably the very things that God's placed as far as giftings and callings go inside your lives. God's going to use that to be a blessing to others around you as your life goes by. What are the signs that God places in your life? As a young boy myself, growing up in an elementary school in Kansas, I was always drawn to books on Africa and safaris. I read every single book available in our library about African safaris, about Africa, and about expeditions. There, I had a great adventurous type knowledge and hunger there for things of Africa. And then as time goes by, I began reading books about Alaska and about the Eskimos and about the cold air and the cold things. And one day a missionary came through our church in Kansas I was growing up in, and Cheryl was there also. And she talked about how she was a missionary to the furthest north part of Alaska man could live at. I told Cheryl, let's pray about living there. Let's pray about moving to Alaska and being missionaries to the narwhal whales and the walrus and so forth. And she said very quickly, like today, I am not called for that. I'm raised in Africa. My blood is thin. I'm not called to the Eskimo people. So I know somehow, some way, I will see the folks in northern Alaska as time goes by. But also the amazing thing was, as Cheryl and I moved to Austin, Texas back in 1994, years and years ago, a prophetic minister approached us our first week here and said, the Holy Spirit tells me you guys are going to be impacting Asia somehow for the gospel in the years ahead. Here we find ourselves now showing a video from Myanmar in Asia. And I know God's opening up Asia to us more and more to impact that place for His glory. So be praying with us that whatever God has in store for Tree of Life Church as far as Asia is concerned, on top of Africa as well, those things will all manifest and take place for the people of this congregation and for us as well. Amen. I love the folks of Myanmar. There's people there who got a great spirit. And I know God's just doing tremendous things in Myanmar by His goodness and by His grace. Amen. I just love going back there again. We're going to see what God's going to do the next time around. Let's read here a familiar verse of Scripture, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Jeremiah 29, 11, New King James Version. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope, not to destroy your life." That word that God gives is for every member of the body of Jesus Christ. God's thoughts towards every one of you is good thoughts, thoughts of a hope, thoughts of a future that is good and bright and rosy. Thoughts of increase, not of decrease. Thoughts of blessings, not of cursings. But then God goes on here in verses 12 and 13 and gives conditions now for these thoughts being released and manifest in your life. What are the conditions? Verse 12 goes on and says, "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart." God says you got to pray, you got to seek my face, not just my hand, with all your whole heart, being totally healed up and bound up, and all those bad things gone from your heart. When you seek me with all your heart, you will find me, says the Lord, and you shall find yourself seeing the thoughts I have for you coming to pass and being manifest also in your life. If you research every person that God used in the Bible, you'll see that God gave a preview to every single one of them before He used them. Every man, every one of God in the Bible got a preview first that God gave them a promise, a vision. God would show them something about their future before it came to pass in their lives. The same thing also is true for you and I. The challenge we face is that many times God will give us previews of coming attractions, but He leaves out some of the messy details to get to the place that God wants us to be at in this life. Amen? As I'm reading this book here again, but called God's Generals, I'm reading about people of God like Amy Semple McPherson. Amy Semple McPherson is the founder of the Four Square denomination, mightily used by God in crusades with tens of thousands of people present, and people getting healed, and miracles happening, and wheelchair victims rising up out of wheelchairs and walking, demons being cast out, folks being saved by the thousands right across this nation and throughout the earth. She didn't realize, though, when she got married to a man that she loved so much, that God would call them to go to a place called Hong Kong. And in Hong Kong, they had all kinds of sickness and disease around them. There's also those malarial-type mosquitoes in the area that bit both Amy McPherson and her husband both. They both contracted malaria, and unfortunately, her husband got worse and worse and worse, and God did not heal him. And the husband she loved so much, only a few years into the marriage, died of malaria in Hong Kong. She didn't realize that those things would take place in her life, her ministry, and what a sacrifice she made, she felt, even for God Himself. Also, Catherine Coleman, you all might have heard about her, about the healing evangelist, the healing ministry, how she spearheaded the whole charismatic movement back in the 1960s and 1970s. You realize that Catherine Coleman's mother was very, very mean, very cruel to her. Never held her, never kissed her, never killed her any kind of comfort or any kind of love at all. And she said she grew up with a very, very strong rejection complex about her mother, not touching her, not speaking words about complimentary things to her in life, never giving her any kind of encouragement or any kind of reinforcement. She had a very, very bitter, angry, unloving mother as long as she was alive. But God used that unloving mother in due time because God saved her mother at one of her own crusades in her 30s, I think 30-some years of age. And through that, she forgave her mother. Her mother forgave her as well. They embraced, they hugged, they held, and God used those rejections and pains and hurts in the past to help so many people out as time goes by. Then also one time in Catherine Coleman's crusade, as she was going across our nation preaching the gospel, her own father she loved so much, it was so dear to her heart, had a freak accident where he actually tripped on ice and fell in front of a moving vehicle and got his head struck by a car and got killed by that. Before Catherine Coleman could come back and see her dying father, he was already dead and being buried and going to a funeral. These things take place. I can give you story after story of people that are men and women of God, used by God mightily, how God allowed somehow, some way, some tragic things to take place in their lives that could have brought so much pain and so much anguish to them. But somehow, some way, God used those tragic events to build their faith, to increase their resolve towards people and God, and let them realize again that Satan's real, but God's even more real. And what Satan means for evil, God will somehow turn these things to the good. I'll not become bitter, I will become better. And I will not forsake my God, no matter what I go through in life and tragic things. I will still serve the Lord my God. Him only will I serve. And I'll take the good with the bad as well. If you look at the life of Jacob, the Bible says Jacob became very prosperous, very wealthy. He had 12 sons. He had flocks and herds of thousands of cattle and sheep and goats. And he had lands and acreage. And he had four wives. One was good. Three was not the ones he chose himself. Big mistake. And the Bible says there'd be 12 sons that were born there. It's interesting, only two sons he really liked a whole lot. They were born to his true wife named Rachel. The other three wives birthed the other 10 sons who were kind of rejected by him. But only Joseph and Benjamin were birthed actually to Rachel. That's who he loves so much. The Bible says even though Jacob, though, was rich and wealthy and 12 sons, and everybody loved him and liked him, spoke well of him, it says here in Genesis chapter 47, verse 9 on the screen as well, these words about Jacob who meets Pharaoh for the first time face to face, because now Joseph has gone to Egypt. He's now revealed himself as a son of Jacob and the brother of all these other 11 brothers that are now revealed as well from Israel. And the Bible says that now they're receiving land in Goshen to live at to escape the famine of Israel and Egypt in this era. And verse 9 says, "And Jacob said to Pharaoh," notice this, "the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil, difficult years have been the days of the years of my life." This guy has been alive and seen again lands and crops and herds and opulence and gold and silver and favor. And all that man can give him is all in Jacob's lap. And he says here, 130 years old now, "My years on earth have been few and difficult and evil." Because he thinks about also all the tragic things that took place. By losing his own family sometimes, losing, he thought, his own son Joseph, and losing things around him as he got chased off by his own brother Esau. Things took place that were tragic in Jacob's life. But as time goes by, it goes on and says here, "And they have not attained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage." And the good news is, read on about Jacob's life, you're going to find that Jacob's life does end in peace and does end in love and in grace and in good things. God will pull us through in due time and due season, though tragic things may take place in our life. And God will give people like Jacob previews of coming attractions of all the good things and all the great things and all the honeymoon things, but God does leave out some yucky details sometimes, it seems like, as God knows the giants can sometimes discourage us. They can cause fear to come in us, and so God doesn't show us all the giants all the time. But the truth is, giants will be there in your future as well. Whatever vision God gives you is too big for you to fulfill. I'm going to say that again. Whatever vision God gives you is too big for you to fulfill. The giants are too big for you. But guess what? God is on your side. God is with you. And you're going to see those giants being brought down by God's grace and God's power and God's strength if you don't take and give up when the giants start manifesting themselves in your lives. Let's look now at Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18, remembering this. There has to be an encounter before there can be a preview. There's got to be a divine encounter with the living God before there can be a preview take place in your life. I spent 9 years as a Christian not receiving one vision from God that actually made a lot of sense to me. When I finally got baptized in the Holy Spirit at age 20, I began to receive open heavens, open visions on a regular basis. There's got to be an encounter with the living God first before God starts loosing visions in your life. Amen? Matthew 4:18 says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee," he's now fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He's walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says. And now he's walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he sees two brothers, whose names are Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. They're casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Notice that what these guys were doing in the natural realm is what God called them to do in the spiritual realm, because these two brothers, here we see Peter and Andrew, were called by God to be apostolic evangelists for Jesus Christ. It was Peter that preached that one message on Pentecost. He got 3,000 people saved in 1 hour, in one day. These guys were used by God to be fishers of men. They were fishers in the natural realm. They've now become fishers of men in the spiritual realm. Let's go on and read now verse 21 and 22, the next two disciples that Jesus calls. And it says, "Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother," who were called the sons of thunder in due time, "in the boat with Zebedee, their father, doing what? Mending their nets. Notice that. He called them, and immediately it says they left their boat and left their father and followed Jesus Christ. These guys aren't fishing for fish. These guys are mending their nets. James and John were used by God as pastoral apostles for Jesus Christ. They healed brokenhearted folks up. They mended churches. They brought in counsel. They brought in wisdom. What God found them doing when he first found them with Jesus Christ's help, they were doing in the spiritual realm later on down the road. God's going to use your analytical skills in computers and engineering. God's going to use your cooking skills. God's going to use your compassion, your grace. God's going to use all the things you're doing in the natural realm, in the spiritual realm, when your eyes are opened up to God's kingdom and his work through you by God's grace and God's Spirit. Amen? May God reveal that to us more and more this year coming up. You might have experienced yourself an unusual amount of hurts, wounds, and sufferings perhaps in the past. But God's going to take those wounds and rejections and hurts and pains and use those to help other people out with the same problem you've suffered yourself when it's all put in the hands of Jesus Christ. Amen? You might see all those things as bad and demonic and evil, but God says what was meant for evil for you, God will turn those things to the good to help those you will influence in your life. I praise God again for Joyce Meyer now, abused by her own father for decades, not praising God for that, but praising God that God's used that abuse to now set thousands free across the face of the earth in this present day. God takes what was meant for evil and turns it to the good, as only he can do. Do you realize that Mother Teresa, her passion was not for orphans or for the poor or for India? You say, what are you talking about? That's all she did, help the poor, help the orphans, help the people in India. That's where she lived at. What are you talking about? No, her passion was for people not dying by themselves. In Mother Teresa's hometown, she saw folks sometimes dying alone with nobody by their bedside when they died, and it grieved her so bad, she said, Father God, show me where people are at that are dying with no one by their bedside when they die. And God showed her India. Lots of folks there had people that were dying with no one by their bedside when they died. And God took her there, and she went to India there. She found orphans. She found poor folks. She found folks in India that were dying with no one next to them. Then God began to breathe on that. And through that compassion, that ministry, that motivation, she began reaching folks that were orphans and poor and Indians as time goes by. God will take the very thing you probably hate the most in life and make that be what you actually attack in life and are successful to see brought down by the power and by the grace of Almighty God. Amen? So if you hate right now, if you hate abortion, if you hate child abuse, if you hate poverty, that's probably what God has called you to be the solution for in Austin, Texas, somehow, some way. I want to say on the flip side of that also, don't let your passion, though, become a thorn in the flesh to make you embittered by other folks around you in the body of Christ who don't share the same passion you've got. I've been in churches before where folks, if you don't get on the abortion bandwagon with them, they're gone very fast. You got to realize God's given you a battle. God's given you a war to fight. And it's all to the body of Christ to help out perhaps to some extent. But God's going to give you solutions, you answers, and you anointings to lead that fight yourself. And then God will bring troops around you in due time. But don't become bitter to the body of Christ around you. It does not share your compassion perhaps for the homeless or for the abused, because we can't all fight every demon all the time, every day. Amen? God gives us all specific battles to fight upon the earth. Be aware of that. But the good news is God will use us in a great way for that if we just have open heavens, open vision for him. As James comes back to the platform now to help me out, James, let's read Mark chapter 8, verse 22, about visions, open heaven, about God speaking to our lives. Mark 8, 22 and 23 says, Then he, Jesus, came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him, touch him. So he takes the blind man by the hand, leads him out of the town. When he spit on his eyes, he put his hands on him, and he asked him if he saw anything. And the man, of course, in due time did begin to see plainly. He got totally healed. What I'm trying to say here is, you're going to notice that in the ministry of Jesus Christ, the main miracle Jesus Christ did was cause blind eyes to open. Now, why is that? Because he is the light of the world. He's come to take blind people and open their eyes up spiritually, that they might be born again. and know Jesus Christ and His salvation by the power of resurrection that is loosed upon the earth today. He's still causing blind eyes to open, even to this day, as only He can do. If you want to write down some take-home points today, in closing here, your personal preview experience will include these things. I want to write some of these things down. Number one on the screen here, your personal preview experience will begin with a God encounter. You need to be a person that's seeking God's face, praying to God, reading your Bible, spending time with God, because God gives open visions, open heavens to people who take Him seriously and will spend time with Him. Number two, your personal preview experience will open up new horizons in your life. When God gives you open visions of one thing, He then begins to expand that to other things as well. When I began receiving visions from God for the first time in my life at age 20, I began receiving visions in grocery stores of people's lives. I could see their hearts. I could see where they was at with God. I could start seeing things in services and worship times. God began opening up all kinds of horizons to me by seeing the first vision take place. It's like a birthing. It's like something opens up, and all of a sudden you start seeing things you never saw before in your life. Number three, but also it'll open up your eyes to hidden wells. The Bible says Hagar, chased off by Abram with her own son, whose name was Ishmael, was dying of thirst. And God said, look over there, there's a well, a hidden well, open up to Hagar by God giving her open visions, open heaven. There's wells around you right now that God wants to reveal to you that you're not seeing yet. Open heavens, open visions, opens up wells to you that you won't see in the natural type eye. Number four, it will also lift you above your past and not let people rob you of your present and your future that hurt you in the past. It'll let you rise above your past. The Bible says, for the joy set before Him, the vision set before Him, Jesus endured the cross. All that man did against Him, He could say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, because He had an open vision of the future. People with Him forever and evermore that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And last of all, open heavens, open vision will enable you to persist against all odds. When things seem like they're going to fall apart all around you, God causes those who see visions to become stubborn people who won't take no for an answer. Amen? I am still fighting. I'm still struggling to get wells dug in Mozambique. I'm still fighting and struggling to see things take place in leadership conferences, different parts of the earth, and also in our church as well. We're fighting and struggling here to see this church become the strong core group church of relationships in a stronger manner that God desires and God wants. These things are all struggles. They're all fights. They're all things that take place in the spiritual realm. The good news is God blesses the persistent. And God brings forth breakthroughs. Only God can bring forth breakthroughs in His own timing, His own way, by those who will not give up, who see a vision and say, now, Father God, if You showed that to me, it will come to pass in Jesus' name. You will not stay single forever. You will not stay broke forever. You will not find that child rebellious forever. You will not find yourself having no job forever. Those who receive God's visions, God will make it come to pass. If you'll be a stubborn person of bulldog tenacity and say, I will not let go of the vision that God's placed in my heart, in my mind, in my eyes. Well, our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed right now today. I want to pray, first of all, for people today whose hearts may be away from God. You cannot be a person who receives open visions and sees what God sees if your heart is full of sin or full of things of rebellion or things of fear or things that bind you up in disobedience. And as Shannon was sharing this morning here from the scriptures of Psalm, I think chapter 46 or 36, about salvation. Salvation is for every human being that calls upon the name of the Lord. If you're here this morning and saying, Pastor Mike, I don't know if I, when I see God face to face, when I die one day and see Him face to face, as all men shall do, if He'll say to me, well done, good and faithful servant, I knew who You were, I know You by name, enter now into the joys of eternity forevermore. Or will He say, depart from me, worker of iniquity, I didn't even know who You were because You never called upon My name. Never received My Son inside your heart. Never asked for forgiveness. never needed a Savior, you thought. If you're like that this morning and you want to not leave this place before you know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ has saved you, cleansed you, taken sin from you, you want to get your heart right with God today, would you please be very bold while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed for privacy? Just raise your hand real high right now if you're like that today. Anyone like that at all? I want to get my heart right with God or receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, my Lord, and follow Him all the days of my life. Would you raise your hand real high if you're like that this morning? Anyone at all in this congregation? Praise you, Father. Praise you, God. I want to trust all you folks know Jesus, serving God. I want us all to pray right now together for our own eyes. Let's put our hands right now on our eyes together. Put our hands on our eyes to anoint our eyes and pray for our eyes. And Father God, as our hands are on our eyes, you said that we can lay hands upon people and things and results take place and happen. So right now, Father God, as our hands are on our eyes, we pray, Father, open my eyes up. Let me, O God, see the vision you have for my future. Those things that have become distorted, those things that have become blurred, I pray, Father God, take the blinders off of me. Remove, O God, obstacles. Remove, O God, distortions from me. Those things that obscure my vision, remove them from me, O God, this day, in the name of Jesus. And I say, Father God, this day I'm open to receive open visions, open heavens. Invade my dreams, invade my thoughts, invade my circumstances. Let me, O God, perceive when you speak. When you're receiving, O God, releasing visions, O God, to me, may I perceive that every time in Jesus' name. Father God, help me rise above negative circumstances, the bad past, the hurts, the wounds, the bruises. May all the things, O God, I've gone through in my past, the natural realm, be used to be a blessing, Father God, to your kingdom. And Father God, stir up those things inside of me that you want, O God, to release upon the people of the earth I come in contact with. Because only I can reach them in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father. Praise you, God. I'm going to believe God, He heard that prayer in your behalf. Young people, God heard that prayer. Don't worry about your major, about your classes, about what school to go to right now. Seek first God's kingdom, His righteousness. And all these things will be added to you automatically. I'm not saying be irresponsible and be lazy. I'm saying be energetic, be vibrant, be aggressive, and seek first God's face and God's kingdom. He'll make sure open visions come to your life. Amen. When we come here for prayer this coming Thursday, we're going to pray upstairs in the upper room, the youth room. Amen? As long as it's available to us. We'll be in the youth room. Prayer at 6 o'clock. If you can come to that, please come to the upper room for prayer. I can't promise you tongues of fire, rushing mighty winds, but I can promise you the Holy Spirit's already here among us and hears us. And He's going to do great things through us through intercessory prayer. Amen? We have this class here that's called Tree of Life Church 101. It'll be in classroom number 20 upstairs at 9 o'clock because Jeremy's class ends in about 2 weeks. When it ends, ours begins. Talks about coming alive in Christ, number one, being grounded in Christ, number two, being fruitful and finding our giftings and callings, number three. So think about that in a couple of weeks as well.